You're listening to Four Seas, One Family, episode number 2. Hello and welcome to Four Seas, One Family. My name is James Thomas. I'm coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan. Now, hey, before I begin here, if you didn't have the chance, if you hadn't had the chance to listen to our first podcast, jump over to our first podcast to basically understand these podcasts. Now, these podcasts I hope to design for people who are hoping to visit this place for a vacation or just curiosity, and you know, that likes to travel, for cultural reasons, family reasons, you know, just to give a general mapping on what it's like living here in Taiwan. Okay, and this is, you know, I hope to give a basic outline and expression of how it is living here from an expatriate's point of view. Okay, and in the future, I hope to get other local expatriates on the show to talk about their or share their experience about living here in Taiwan and the ups and downs they went through. And later down the line, I hope to involve expats who are living in other parts of the world to have them come here and share their experiences with living abroad. Because living abroad, it really has an effect on you in many ways. I mean, most people who choose to live abroad, they are usually people who are interested about culture, language, and art in a lot of cases. And they usually are more open-minded or accepting to other cultures and ways of living. And I hope to share that with those who are wondering, you know, how does it feel living away from home or wherever we call home? And, of course, most expats who live overseas will always feel a connection to their home, but also to the connection of to the place where they are staying, especially, you know, the longer you stay, the more localized you become with a lot more of your home in you. And you learn more about yourself by living abroad. You learn more about where you come from and yourself by just living abroad. It sounds strange, but it's true. So another thing I'd like to mention is that with these podcasts, I'm talking about living here in Taiwan right now, but I want to let you know that I'm not being sponsored by any government agency here or anything. Most of the information, if not all, that I will be presenting in my podcast can just be downloaded from the national websites. They have many websites in English to help people learn more about Taiwan. And a lot of stuff that, you know, I'm reading will come from offline or from pamphlets I collected from government offices for foreigners to learn about living in Taiwan and how to have a functional, healthy, and legal life in Taiwan. But first off, Taiwan has reciprocal agreements with other nations, and this gives certain nationals from these countries up to 90 days landing visas when they get here, and others 30. And there's other arrangements made with other nations with their citizens hoping to travel to this area, whether for his work, play, schooling, or anything like that. Now, the following countries are eligible for this 90-day visa, and that's Austria. And I'll just go through a few of them, not all of them, but it's Austria, Belgium, Bulgaria, Canada, Cyprus, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Ireland, Iceland, Israel, Italy, Japan, Republic of Korea, Latvia, right, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Monaco, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, United Kingdom, U.S., and the Vatican State. I haven't met anybody from the Vatican State here yet. But these nationals from these nations have, when they first land here, a 90-day landing visa, which is really cool because, you know, back when I first came here, it was a lot shorter. I mean, and a lot more restricted. I think for U.S. citizens, was only a 30-day landing visa. But things in Taiwan has progressed a lot as far as their different agencies that deal with expatriates of foreigners have made better connections and sharing information and also better tracking procedures. People from the following, these following nations, Austria, right? Did I say that? Yeah, Malaysia and Singapore, they have a 30-day landing visa, right? So, you know, it'll vary from country to country, and there may be some, there are special requirements, special rights given to people here visiting or working in Taiwan or sent to Taiwan via maybe by other government or even local government officials. They have different arrangements sometimes, and that comes under a whole different category, which may even involve work permits or the alien residency certificates here that they have called ARC. And that leads to other things. And I'll talk about that later down the line, okay? And we'll just keep going at it. Now, remember that the duration of these landing visas start from the next day you are here. You are in Taiwan, okay? Now, you got to keep in mind that if you are entering Taiwan via this, you know, procedure, right? There are things that you need to follow, you know, very strictly because, you know, the way with things are right now, it's that every country is really more and more governments are keeping their eyes on who is coming in and coming out of the country, right? Now, these countries that I read, they are visa exempt, okay? That means that these nationals do not have to first run over to an embassy or consulate or something like that or location that represents Taiwan to get a visa first. No, they can just come here, land here, and register, and that's it. They are visa exempt, okay? And, you know, it's a really good arrangement, and I hope things will get a little bit better. But understanding Taiwan's situation right now internationally, you know, listen to my first podcast, and maybe that'll explain more on that. Now, remember that the duration of stay starts from the next day of arrival, okay? And is not extendable, all right? So, in other words, if you are from these nations, either with a 90-day or 30-day landing rights visa, whatever, you can't, like, come here and extend it, okay? Now, there are exceptions. There are situations where there may be a situation where you have to do so, like if you have a medical emergency or something like that, or, you know, or there's a natural disaster here that prevents you, you know, from leaving, or that kind of nomenclature, I can't even say that word right. But that's something to, you know, that, you know, that could possibly happen. So it is, there are situations where you may need to stay longer, but normally you will have to exit after your 90-day or 30-day visa-exempt period is over. You will normally have to exit Taiwan. And if you choose a return, you have to exit and then bounce back, then come right back here. And remember, you have to have a legal passport and other information needed to get in and out the nation. Now, you know, there are some Taiwan nationals that are married to people from overseas, and they ask questions all the time on Facebook. You know, hey, what, anybody knows what should I do to bring my husband over to Taiwan and stuff like that? And you know, sometimes it can be quite daunting, and you know, especially if you don't know, and especially if the Taiwan national has been living overseas or working overseas for a long time, they always find it a little bit convoluted in trying to find information about you know, coming to Taiwan, or just downright confusing. But in reality, I don't think it is that confusing, especially now when so many things has been streamlined and a little bit more user friendly in some cases. And you know, I hope to try to answer some questions now. If someone is married to ROC a national with a household registration in the Taiwan area. You know, if they, in other words, if they are, you know, from Taiwan, they're registered, you know, they are registered from us, say they're living in a certain, their domicile is a certain location in Taiwan. If they're registered and they're bringing their husband or spouse over, their spouse is would be eligible for ARC, okay, alien resident certificate, okay. Now, if this other things to do, if the national with their spouse is bringing over a child and stuff, and I'll talk about that at a whole nother date or in another Q&A period. But right now, I just want to get a general idea of the things you need to do up to the alien resident certificate level. Okay. And I'll talk a little bit more about the permanent residency certificate later on in another podcast. But for example, if you are an investor or representative of or legal representative of a company investing in Taiwan over a certain capital amount, you are also eligible to register for an alien resident certificate. Okay, but you know, we'll get more into specifics at another time. And of course, you know, that also means if you're a person in charge of a foreign company approved by Taiwan, you can also apply for this ARC. Now, there's other special type of situations that go way above my head. If someone is invited or someone is asked to visit by, say, a government agency, they can also apply for this ARC. When you apply for this alien resident certificate, you have to give them two recent photos. That's about 4.5 by 3.5 centimeters, you know, a headshot. And I think it has to be within a certain time limit. I think within 6 months, you have to take this photo. And you have to make a copy of your original passport, okay? And when you go to, for example, hand in your application, which you can get down, you can download it offline, or you can go to the office to hand it in. You will have to give them the copy of your passport and the original passport, which after they verify that the information is correct and the same thing in your passport is in your copy, they will give you back your passport. They will not hold your passport for no reason, and which I think is pretty cool. And also your spouse or the person who's working here, representing the company who's applying for the ARC, will have to present a health certificate that's not older than 3 months, okay, to show that they're in good health and not a cause of concern of spreading disease or anything like that here, which is still reasonable. Now, if a Taiwan national and with their spouse from overseas, say from the United States, Canada, North America, Europe, if they're bringing over a child, they have to, especially if the child is 6 years under age, they have to bring in some kind of vaccination certificate, okay? And I would assume that would the information on that would have to be translated and notarized also. And this so that the Taiwan CDC or Center for Disease and Control can rest assured that no one is bringing in any type of contagious disease, which is, I think, would be quite a fair request, okay? Now, also, there may be some need to get a notice from your local police stating that, you know, do you have any criminal record, anything like that? Actually, a crime record, you know, record. And that has to also be, you know, translated too, which I think is not, you know, over the head. I don't think it's a very hard request, I think it's a reasonable request, but, well, that's maybe that's just me. Basically, they're concerned that you don't have any major criminal record in the past 5 years. I'm sure they're not going to nail you for something like, oh, you got a parking ticket, you can't come into Taiwan. But that's a whole nother story. Well, I'll talk about that later when we get to the topic of how to get a driver's license or other related licensing here in Taiwan as a non-Taiwan national, which is kind of interesting, but I can tell you it can be fun sometimes, and sometimes it can be quite frustrating, okay? And, you know, basically that's what you need for that. And I think they kind of break up the application fee, right? Like for 1 year, you have to pay 1,000 NT plus a little bit more than 2,000 NT for a person coming here with a landing or visitor's visa, changing to a residence visa, and have to spend, oh, I got it here, 2,200 NT. Okay, that's it. And let me see what other information you have to give here to the National Immigration Agency, NIA. What else here? Right now, I'm just reading this off of documents that I got from their site. Okay, oh, if you are, see, a first-time applicant, right, based on marriage or work, anything like that, I think you can only apply for first-year ARC first, right, and be accompanied by your spouse to the National Immigration Agency to proceed with this, applying for the certificate. Cool. Okay, that sounds cool. Let's move right along. At this point, I would like to end this episode. And if you have any questions, please take a look at the show notes. Also, please forgive my ums and ahms, okay? In my next episodes, I will try to cut back on them and try to keep it natural at the same time. If you have any questions, please drop by the website and leave me a message or send me email at comments@wdvn.tv. And if you haven't, please, if you haven't already, please listen to our first podcast to get an idea on what I'm trying to do here and learn a little bit about life here in Taiwan. And if you are an expat in another part of the world, I would like to hear from you too. You know, drop by the website and leave me a message on the website on the message form that I set up there. So look, take care, and I'll see you in the next episode. And my name is James Thomas for 4Cs One Family. See you later. Zai jian. We'll be right back.